Hi folks, my name is David Strain. Welcome to Life Toward God, a devotional from the First Presbyterian Church of Jackson, Mississippi. I recently began reading this book, Dane Ortlund's Gentle and Lowly, The Heart of Christ for Sinners and Sufferers, published by Crossway. It's brand new and it is beautiful and incredibly comforting and encouraging, and I'd recommend it to you really highly. Taking some of my cues from that book then, I thought it might be helpful in our devotionals this week to think together about the heart of Christ for our comfort and encouragement as it is revealed to us in the New Testament scriptures, both during the days of his earthly humiliation and ministry and at the right hand of God as it pulses with love for his church from the throne of heaven. First of all, of course, as always, we begin with a few sentences of scripture to help turn our hearts towards God. So listen now to Isaiah 66, verses 1 and 2. Thus says the Lord, Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What is the house that you would build for me? And what is the place of my rest? All these things my hand has made. And so all these things came to be, declares the Lord. But this is the one to whom I will look. He who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. Our opening prayer today was written in the second century by the martyr Polycarp. Let's pray together. May God the Father and the eternal High Priest Jesus Christ build us up in faith and truth and love, and grant to us our portion among the saints with all those who believe on our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for all saints, for kings and rulers, for the enemies of the cross of Christ, and for ourselves we pray, that our fruit may abound and we may be made perfect in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Our scripture reading is a familiar one. We've already used it in previous devotionals. We're returning to Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We learn here first who Jesus is. He is our great high priest, Jesus, the Son of God. We learn about his office. He is a high priest, the great high priest, the final, true, and ultimate high priest. And we learn about his person. He is Jesus, the Son of God. That is, he is both God and man, in two distinct natures and one person forever. He is our representative, the provider of atonement for us. He is our heavenly intercessor as our great high priest, and he is uniquely qualified as God and man to bridge the chasm between the Creator and the creature, between the holy God and between sinners. And we learn here where he is. He has passed through the heavens. That is to say, he's gone all the way in to the throne room itself, into the very presence of God the Father. No mere man could ever go there. But Jesus, the God-man, our true and final high priest, he has gone there. And we learn how Jesus feels. We get insight into his heart. This is a crucial question, and I think we often tends to overlook it. Jesus, remember, is still, right now, he is still man. Glorified man, to be sure, but man still. He's a human being. He is the living God, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, but he is also a true human being with our nature. He is exalted in his humanity, and so no longer prone to suffering, subject to sorrow and pain. But in his humanity, he still has affections that move his glorified human heart. This text teaches us what use Jesus, as he presides from the throne of heaven, makes of his earthly sufferings to which he was subject during his earthly ministry. Remember, he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He wept. He was overcome by bodily weakness. He asked the woman at the well for a drink in the middle of the day, at the hottest part of the day. He was weary. He slept in the boat in the middle of the storm. He was troubled in spirit. He was crucified. He bled and he died. All of that is now in his past. Now in his exalted human nature, he no longer is liable to sorrow or suffering or pain like that. But our text says he was tempted in every respect as we are, yet without sin. The word translated tempted is the same word that means to be tested or tried by suffering. So we're being taught that during his earthly ministry, in his past sufferings and trials and the testings of his earthly ministry, they now today equip him with an unending capacity for sympathy with us as we endure present sufferings and trials and testings of various kinds. The King James Version, you may know, translates this phrase, able to sympathize with us, touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Here's the point. Jesus' heart right now, pulses with sympathy, with affectionate, tender compassion for the wounds that we bear. Having been filled with all the fullness of the Spirit, sitting at the right hand of God the Father in glory, his human heart is constantly moved by your tears. It beats with an eager longing for an end to the sin and the sorrow and the sickness and the sufferings that afflict us all still. Well, so what? The text actually tells us what we should do with that fact. It says, let us hold fast our confession. That is to say, stay firm and immovable, tethered to the truth you confess, to the gospel hope that is yours, to the faith once for all delivered to the saints. Do not let your faith be moved, not because you're strong, but because you cling to a Saviour who knows your weakness. And then he says, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Because Jesus' heart right now, his exalted, glorified heart, beats with compassion for you. Jesus sits forward, as it were, on his throne, eager to hear and to respond to the cries of his hurting children. You can go boldly with confidence to his throne, because the one who's seated there has a heart that inclines to you is touched with the feeling of your infirmities. You know you're not bothering him by your cries. You don't weary him with your weaknesses. His heart bends towards you. You're welcome at his throne room. He's eager to meet with you there. He's honored, exalted when his people come to him, asking his mercy, seeking his face. And the text even promises us it. This is a promise, a pledge from God in his word to you today. Because of Jesus' sympathy, because of his tender heart, when you go to his throne, you will receive mercy and grace to help in your need. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are a perfect, a great high priest who has passed through the heavens. That is, you have penetrated into the holiest of holies, into the throne room where even the angels veil their faces, into the nearer presence of the living God, where no mere mortal ever has gone. And there you reign, presiding over your kingly throne, from your kingly throne, over your kingdom, in righteousness, exalted. Yet for all your majesty, you condescend, you stoop down, you lean forward with arms open wide, beckoning us to come to you because your heart beats with sympathy for us. So please help us, help me, help us flee to you, run to you. Not be slow or timid or hesitant to pour out our requests to you, but in our time of need to come and find, as you promise we will, mercy and grace to help. How we need your mercy and your grace. Hear our cries today, for today, and draw near to us, for we ask this in your name. Amen. Thanks for joining us at Life Toward God. You can find previous episodes and more information about the First Presbyterian Church of Jackson, Mississippi by going to www.fpcjackson.org.